Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. There will be oil.
There's a whole ocean of oil under our feet. No one can get at it except for me.
I want American oil from American soil. Oh, when I think about all we import, you know it makes my red blood boil.
Yes, the last decade has seen a worry about the insecurity of fossil fuel supplies around the world, rising and then falling prices for oil, and then, as that song suggests, a domestic oil boom, fueled literally by our belief that American oil from American soil is the new patriotism.
One of the biggest factors in bringing more jobs back is our commitment to American energy. The all-the-above energy strategy I announced a few years ago is working, and today America is closer to energy independence than we have been in decades.
President Obama, in his 2014 State of the Union address, that oil boom in the United States, tapping into tar sands and using new fracking technologies to get at the oil and gas trapped deep in the earth beneath shale deposits, has made the U.S. the rival of Russia and Saudi Arabia in energy production. An estimated 7 billion barrels of oil are sitting underneath the U.S. portion of the Bakken oil fields, 170 square miles stretching from North Dakota to Montana and into Canada, with high-paying jobs for workers all along the way. But a new investigation finds that those high-paying jobs also have high risks. In the first comprehensive analysis of its kind, reporters at Reveal, that's from the Center for Investigative Reporting, found that on average, a worker dies about every 6 weeks from an accident in the Bakken. That's at least 74 deaths in the oil fields since 2006. Jennifer Gollin is a reporter with Reveal. She says that the top energy firms are taking advantage of limited oversight in North Dakota to push workplace safety beyond the breaking point.
We obtained a document from a top official at Oasis, a drilling engineer, and this was 4 months before the well blew up in September 2011. So 4 months before this well exploded, which killed two workers and injured two others, the supervisor on this well was congratulated for working quickly, for setting a new drilling record. And she went on to call this record-holding well the quote-unquote pace setter. Again, looking at Oasis's record in particular, they often pay performance bonuses of $150 per day for drilling quickly, compared with $40 a day for drilling safely.
So let's describe then how vulnerable the people were who were involved in this particular accident that you looked at in September of 2011.
So the circumstances related to this actual well were that it had been fracked and drilled. And this particular crew, there was a crew of four men, and they were brought on site on this day in September 2011 to get the well to produce more. And the day before they arrived for this work, the company man, the supervisor on the site who was representing Oasis, apparently put down thousands of gallons of salt water into this well to control for this gas, to apparently make it safe for these men to get the well to produce more the next day. Unfortunately, the well exploded.
And tell me a little bit about Jebediah Jesse Stanfill, who used to work in the oil fields, who witnessed this accident. And what is it about this accident that he can't get out of his mind?
Jebediah Jesse Stanfill, he often goes by Jesse, was working on an oil rig less than a mile away. He was near the top of the rig when he heard this boom, and he spun around, grabbed a fire extinguisher, a first aid kit, and jumped in this truck with two coworkers. Two men died as a result of this accident, and two men were injured. And as Jesse was helping to pick up some of these men to load them into the bed of this pickup truck to drive them to the ambulance, some of the men's skin came off in his hands. And that is a feeling that to this day he just can't shake. He wears gloves most of the time when he's playing with his kids or even when he's in his kitchen. or gardening, and it's really to protect him from feeling the memory of those men's skin on his hands.
How can a simple thing like looking at your hands or washing your hands send you completely enveloped back to that day? Like the scenery changes. It's as if I'm there. It rules my life.
He certainly sounds emotionally devastated even now from the accident. What kind of workers were on that rig, and what is it that drives these workers?
As far as the men who died that day, there was Brendan Wegner. He was just 21. It was his first day on a rig. He was scrambling down the derrick ladder when the well exploded. It consumed him in this fiery tornado of oil and petroleum vapors. Rescuers later found his body pinned under a heap of this twisted metal, and his charred hands were recovered later, still gripping the derrick ladder. And then there was Ray Hardy. He died the next day from his burns. And a third man, Michael Twin, who was injured, had to have his lower legs amputated, and he committed suicide 2 years later. And there was just one lone survivor who was burned over half of his body.
Did Jesse and the injured workers and the fatalities that occurred at this accident, do they fall into the cracks of federal regulation? Are they in any sense casualties of violation of regulations or the result of an absence of regulations entirely?
OSHA regulators will tell you that they often have to rely on a part of the law called the General Duty Clause. And basically, it means that it makes it very difficult for them to hold top energy producers accountable because they typically don't have direct employees on these well sites. So as a result, in many of these cases, the top energy producers are not fined, and it's the subcontractor, typically the company that employs these workers, that gets fined.
Now, many of the states that are in the same situation as North Dakota, producing huge amounts of oil and gas through fracking and the new drilling technology, Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Wyoming, they've started to pass laws that might prevent oil companies from shifting liability onto their contractors. That would force the big oil companies to actually take the rap when there is an accident of this kind. That's not the case in North Dakota. What's going on there?
In North Dakota in 2011, the state legislature considered a bill that would have prevented oil and gas companies from forcing their contractors to sign agreements that shifted their liability to them. There are these four other large energy-producing states, Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Wyoming, that have passed laws to either restrict or limit how oil companies use these protections in their contracts. But in the end, heavy lobbying from the oil industry torpedoed this bill, and it was never passed.
Is OASIS happy with the state of affairs right now? Are they fighting to get these regulations rolled back? What's their response to everything that you've discovered here?
OASIS has told us that safety is tantamount at their company and that they would never put workers in jeopardy.
Jennifer Gollin is a reporter for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, looking into worker and workplace tactics in the Bakken oil field in the middle of a oil and gas boom in the United States. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, John.
Efforts have been made in other states to regulate the working environment in the modern oil field, where explosive forces of compressed water and chemicals have caused double-digit increases in the death rate among workers. Wyoming is one of those states. Jack Podesum is the past president and advisor to the board of the Wyoming Oil and Gas Industry Safety Alliance. He's also the president and CEO of the Trihydro Corporation, an environmental and engineering firm. He joins me now. Jack, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
And describe for me what Wyoming has done to prevent some of the circumstances that were described in that last report.
Wyoming has historically also been a state that has experienced a high number of workplace injuries and fatalities. In 2009, Governor Friedenthal commissioned a workplace fatality prevention task force to study ways and develop recommendations to reduce and prevent injuries and fatalities. That task force came away with several recommendations, one of those recommendations being to establish industry safety alliances that would assist the industry itself with improving the safety culture throughout the industry.
Would you say that the regulation process now is rewriting a situation for the fracking era? Are we dealing with a regulatory environment that's still in many ways rooted in the there will be blood period of the 1800s?
I don't believe so. With respect to the Wyoming Industry Oil and Gas Industry Safety Alliance that I'm associated with, we've assisted the Wyoming OSHA on several occasions since the Oil and Gas Industry Safety Alliance was formed in 2010, with actually helping them update their regulations in many cases to meet industry standards that are used across the oil and gas industry.
How dangerous is this trade-off alluded to before of pushing production as fast as possible and as deep as possible and keeping workers safe?
I'm sure that culture is out there amongst some companies. The members that we have with the Oil and Gas Industry Safety Alliance are very, very safety conscious companies.
And what is it about the fracking workplace itself that people might not realize are serious safety issues? The forces that are used underground are not well known.
That is correct. The primary goal that we are trying to accomplish with our organization and our alliance is to provide training to the industry, to employees, large firms and small firms, to ensure that they understand and are utilizing the best practices to keep their employees safe.
Do people need an education to work on these work sites, or is it pretty much elbow grease and hard physical labor?
It's a combination of both, but certainly anybody working on these rig sites needs a certain level of education. Most of the members of the Wyoming Oil and Gas Industry Safety Alliance have very stringent requirements for educating their employees and their subcontractors with respect to proper safety practices before ever showing up on site. And in many cases, those requirements are more stringent than the regulations.
The issue of safety on American soil, where there's tremendous efforts to get American oil out of the ground under the Bakken oil fields. Jack Podesum is past president and advisor to the board of the Wyoming Oil and Gas Industry Safety Alliance. He's also president and CEO of the Tri-Hydro Corporation, an environmental and engineering firm. Jack, thanks so much.
Thank you.